Welcome to the Ask a Cycling Coach podcast presented by Trainer Road. I'm Coach Jonathan Lee, and Coach Chad isn't with us right now, but our CEO Nate Pearson is.
Hello.
And also another special guest. We are live at Interbike with Scott Tetzel, right?
That is correct.
From Quarré.
Glad to be here.
And Quarré is how you pronounce it?
Yes. Yes.
Check it out.
Yeah. C-U-O-R-E. And it is Italian for heart. Okay. And the origin of that is our founder is half Swiss, half Italian. He's a very passionate guy. And so that really shows in the brand and also in the products that we make.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a serious guy. I've met him. Jürgen, right?
No, he's actually one of the other owners, but our founder is a little bit older gentleman. His name's Hugo, and he was a professional racer back in the 70s, and then got into manufacturing and textiles, and has really been kind of on the forefront of the sublimation process and the manufacturing of cycling apparel.
Sweet. So.
Jonathan, how did you find them? Because they didn't approach us, right? You found them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then put us all onto it.
Yeah, so I was the director of like a club locally, a really big one, and I was looking for a kit that looked really good, and I saw IM Cycling's kits, and there are these kits that you've heard of that team in the Pro Peloton. Looks like the team is going away for the next year, which is kind of sad because they're the best looking kits in the whole Pro Peloton, and for a vain person like me, that's why I really like them.
But call Jonathan a fashionista.
Yes.
At the office.
Yeah, yeah. But I saw their kits and I thought, those look like they fit really good. And that's when I got in contact with them. Nate and I actually wore their stuff on that club that I was talking about and loved it. Like, loved it. Loved it. It fit really well. The fabrics, like, it felt like they weren't just like putting random fabrics in different spots. We're going to get into all this in a bit, but like, you actually had intentional uses, like different fabrics in different places. There were no hems on the sleeves, and I was in heaven because I hate hems on sleeves. I don't know why we have them like that. So it was, really good stuff. So that's how we got in contact with you guys. We've mentioned you guys on the podcast before when people ask us like, which bib shorts do you recommend? And we've always said that we like those ones. And today we wanted to talk to you guys more about kit knowledge and all the
science,
kind of the science behind it. Yeah. And little things that maybe we can do if we don't have Quarré stuff, if we don't have whatever things you can do to make your kit more efficient maybe or change around.
No one wants to listen to a Quarré commercial, right? But they want to learn about it. Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah. And like why things happen and that kind of stuff. So yeah. I have a 2-in-1 kit from you guys right here.
What is that, by the way?
So Nate? What is a 2-in-1? Yeah.
So the 2-in-1 is a product that we developed, and that was a request from the IM team, at the World Tour level, where they wanted something that is extremely aerodynamic and also suitable for long races, for a Tour de France stage or one day classic, and something.
If you're wearing a skin suit, something like that, you don't have pockets in the back.
Yeah,
and it's also pretty uncomfortable to wear the whole day, right?
Exactly. Yeah, traditionally the skin suits are either more time trial specific, where maybe they're really not comfortable to ride for a full stage or a long day, or it's a skin suit that's maybe more basic or even cyclocross kind of focused, that typically wouldn't have storage options where, you got to be carrying extra food, bottles, jacket, whatever it might be for a day. And so that was the development of this suit. And what we did is we already had put a lot of time and effort into our top level bib shorts and our aero racing jersey and took that as a foundation to make this new suit. And we've also found that as we've introduced this product to people, it's been used not only on the roadside for endurance events, but people have started to pick it up for cross racing.
I use it for mountain biking.
Mountain bike racing, absolutely.
Yeah, I use it for mountain bike racing too.
It's comfy.
So for those who aren't familiar with it, it's the back, like jersey pockets are almost sewn into the bib. So you don't have actual bib straps, but the jersey are the bibs.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it's basically like if you took bib shorts and you cut off the bib straps and then you sewed the back portion of the jersey to the bibs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then of course it's not just like hacked off, like I'm making it sound, but it's actually like refined. Then that's it. So no bib straps.
But the front isn't connected.
Yeah, the front isn't connected. Yep. So that way you don't have to have like three people help you into a skin suit either.
Yep.
You can just get into it easily. So it's really comfy.
And I'm going to wear this tonight for Cross Vegas.
Yep. Which is nice because on cyclocross, you're jumping off your bike, jumping back on, your jersey's right up, which is a big pain.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
So maybe let's start at the bottom of the jersey and talk about the parts there and like what we should look for in a kit and what kind of science you guys have. We talked a little bit before this about compression.
Yes.
So let's say on my legs, is there a right amount of compression? How big I am? Like, how does that fit in? Because I know some brands are all about compression, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And I mean, the honest truth is when you have a bib short or short that's, you know, made with Lycra materials, it's always going to have a certain amount of compression to it because that's the nature of the fabric. I mean, it has a rubber content in there that gives it the stretch characteristic that you want. And if you have a short like that that isn't providing some compression, then it's certainly too big for you. So I think, you know, there's a bit of a misconception out there that, you know, one company is talking all about the compression of their bib shorts because there's some level of compression that everybody has. I think what's more important is you see with some shorts and the seams and construction of it that maybe there's areas that don't stretch as much as others. So potentially if you have a leg gripper and you have a seam construction there, that's where if you have, you know, less stretch in the material, you might actually get a little bit of constriction there, which potentially can be uncomfortable or
looks like sausage legs.
Maybe even have some performance effect as well, that it could be reducing circulation or something like that.
What about aerodynamic drag on the legs? Is that a big deal since it's they're kind of moving?
Yes,
there should be some, right? Because like we don't shave legs.
Yeah, yes and no. There's certainly, you know, the wind speed of riding, and then there's the circular motion of pedaling as well. And so the more streamlined you can be, the better. And so on our high-end bib shorts, we try and limit the amount of seam construction we have, just to make it as clean as possible.
Yeah, because there's no, so a lot of bib shorts, they're just like whatever the material is, and then it comes down to the end and they've got like a band that's sewn on with like a seam usually.
Yeah.
And that goes around your leg at the bottom. And these shorts, they don't have that. It's
correct.
Just smooth all the way down. Is that for, in my mind, it fulfills both purposes, but was that mostly aerodynamically driven, or is that mostly a fit and a compression issue?
It was more for the fit, mm-hmm. and the real challenge that we had there is the reason most companies have a separate leg gripper is because you're not able to kind of engineer that characteristic into a fabric,
right.
So you make a separate fabric that fulfills that need of holding everything in place.
Yeah.
And by testing and developing with different fabric options, we're able to eliminate that and just have the gripper be integrated into the material and have it be seamless.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's a lot of people out there that get kind of that sausage effect or whatever. It's kind of the constriction where you have that transition of materials or stitching or something where it's not the same stretch throughout, and so then it becomes uncomfortable and doesn't look as nice for a lot of people that are maybe conscious about that.
Yeah, that's me.
Let's talk about the pad, because that's probably
the chamois.
The chamois. It's like the number one probably. Eric, is a touch point where people can get pain.
Yeah.
So I've heard both. Some people like a thick pad, some people like a really thin pad, and it's all going to have to do with your saddle and then cream. Like, what's your guys' stance on it, and what do you guys find?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that for the pad, you know, that's the main touch point between you and your bicycle. So it's a very important piece to consider. And it's also a very individual preference there. You know, everybody has different saddles that they like to ride, different sit bone widths, just different anatomy to begin with. And then it also depends on what type of riding you're doing, you know, how long you're out on the bike, how hard you're pushing on the pedals, because, you know, if you're a more casual rider, you're potentially in a more upright position, and so you maybe have more weight actually on your sit bones, and so it potentially is going to be more sensitive. And
so is it fair to say that somebody that is a more casual rider, they might want to look for more cushioning that's toward the back and the butt on a chamois?
Potentially, yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. And what we see is with, you know, the higher level riders and going up to the pro level guys, they're putting a lot more power into the pedals, and it actually elevates you off the saddle a little bit.
Huge, yeah.
And so I have definitely talked with some of the pro riders that prefer even a very, very thin pad because they don't necessarily need the cushioning. They just need something that, it, you know, is going to be a nice soft touch point against the skin.
Makes
and
sense.
Also make sure that there's no seams or anything else kind of aggravating them.
Makes sense.
I noticed that at both of your points there. When I took some time off and I came back from like no fitness and FTP was like 190.
Yeah.
It was about 205. Now I'm like, I'm actually 178.5 the other day.
That's the weight, not the FTP.
Yeah. My FTP is 300.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, you know, they're switching the two numbers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not my weight, but it feels so much better. And some people, I see them, they're starting and they might be 250 pounds and with a low FTP of 150. And they're like, you're just going to have to, you can't get a, I don't think at that weight and that power, something that's just going to be perfectly comfortable. You kind of get used to it though, and things do toughen up.
Yeah.
The other one is I've had it where there'll be like a seam in the pad.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Why do people do that? I felt that a seam in the pad.
It's probably cheaper, maybe.
It,
I don't know.
Causes saddle sores then. Like right there.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, and I have like, if you were to run your fingernail across my forehead right now, it'll be red for like 3 hours. I have really, really bad skin. It's really easily irritated. And for me, finding a chamois that doesn't, because for me, the thickness isn't as much the importance as the shape and the placement of it. Because if it's rubbing on my thighs or anything else, like if some of chamois are really wide and then they end up sticking down onto your legs kind of instead of just like sitting where you actually need cushioning. And when you have all that extra fabric, that can be a pain. So if you can try on a chamois, that's key. Not only lateral position, but also fore and aft too. Some, I don't know who they're fitting these bib shorts on, but some companies, like the chamois is like super far forward or super far back.
I find it, for me, as I'm a bigger guy, they're far forward and not wide enough.
But yeah.
I'm, as everyone knows in the podcast, I'm 6'6".
And
that all sizing stuff is kind of weird. Actually, on these, this 2-in-1, one thing that I'm there's another running joke on the podcast that I'm fat because I've taken body fat scans and I'm the fattest one in the podcast. Although I look pretty skinny, I
right.
think.
Yeah, Nate looks skinny compared to average folks, for sure.
So one thing I noticed with these is the large fits me compression-wise, but the height, it's pretty tight, right? So I actually just ordered with you guys, I think we did those, right? We're
going to
get our own training up kits, but an extra large.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that'll still be compressed because I'm pretty tight in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, you walk around here, there's like two other guys with the same body shape as me. So I understand that.
Yeah.
Right.
So one thing we could do then is look, when you look at a chamois, is you want to look for maybe, would you like rub your fingers on it? Like how do you just look for seams? Like one that's, you know, not on the store shelf.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important that you have one that does feel good in the fit. So if you can try it on, that would be ideal. And to the point you made previously about kind of the fore aft position, sometimes one of the effects of that is that potentially you're in the wrong size of short.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And so if you're in a short that's too small for you, usually the pad will tend to scoot forward. And so if you go up a size, it'll kind of bring it back to where it should be.
Is that because our fat butts stretch it out? That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've definitely seen that where people have, in their minds, wanted to be in a smaller size, and then the pad is not in the right place.
Yeah.
And they went up one size, and then that issue was resolved.
That's usually the guy that you hate to ride behind because his shorts are almost transparent.
Oh,
it's gross.
I've seen that where I can see someone's crack.
Yeah, it's
bits.
So gross, man.
I've noticed, too, that I'll, because I've had the same sizing problems, is I'll pull up the leg some, and that will then move it back. I bought these Zip bibs back in, like, 2008 on discount, and they were, like, I don't know, from Italy or something, but I bought a triple XL and I still couldn't get the bib shorts over my shoulders.
Wow.
I had to cut them a little bit and like make them bigger.
Add in fabric.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so how do you get how do you figure out sizing if, because I know we have a lot of bike shops in Reno, we're pretty lucky, but you go to a bike shop and they usually have like one or two brands and sometimes they don't have high end stuff.
Yeah.
And I think Jonathan and I, we're, we, I have lots of jerseys, and I only wear the high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Like, once you own a high-end thing, you just only wear that.
Right,
and the low-end stuff just sits there.
Yeah.
How do you figure out, like, what size you are if you can't try it on? And the bike shops usually don't like to order, like, I know our bike shops, when we try to custom order something and then be like, we don't want it after it shows up, they do not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a challenge. There's so many apparel brands out there, and there's so many different size ranges out there. And I think it's even a little bit more challenging if you're doing custom orders, because there is a potential that, you know, I've heard from other teams and clubs that they try it on stuff and then they got a completely different size in the final product. And, you know, who knows where in the process things changed.
Yeah.
But definitely if you can try stuff on in a shop, or even, you know, if you're doing mail order or something, see if maybe there's an opportunity to do an exchange or something on a size, you know, if you end up getting something that doesn't fit. Yeah. Or maybe we've had customers that ordered two sizes and then send one back. But definitely you want to start out with the proper size, because that means that every time you go back to your closet, you're going to be grabbing something that you're excited to ride in.
I think one thing too that you guys do and some other brands do, if you have like a team, like you have a local team that you want to do, you will send out a fit kit, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that a sample so everyone can try it on?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when a team is looking to do an order and they have specific products that they want, then we try and match up sizing samples that are the identical product so they can try stuff on.
That
and
helps.
Then the other thing that goes one step further is that we, in our custom apparel, do offer the custom tailor options. So for instance, a guy like yourself, if you need more torso length in your kit, you could actually add that on specifically for your order. So that would address a fit issue like
adjust that order.
No, yeah. Yeah, it really helps. You know, one thing too I wanted to talk about really quick, I was thinking of when you mentioned, you know, pulling the legs up, putting on your kit, that does change the way it fits. And I see a lot of people just like put their leg through and then just stretch the kit up and then put the bib straps on and then they go out on their bike and ride. I know I have a very different way that I go about putting my kit on.
Yeah.
When I put my kit on, I make sure I'm sitting down, and then I take the leg and I lift the leg grippers. I spread them out and I lift it up as high as I can on my leg. So then it fits well around my butt, hips, and all the sensitive areas, right? I get it so that it's comfortable there. It's not stretched out there.
Yeah,
so then
that's the most important part.
It'll be stationary on me. It's not going to be shifting around there. And then after that, then I slowly roll the legs down to where they are comfortable and they're not fully, you know, they're not really stretched out or anything else like that. Do you have any tips like that, maybe for jerseys or
it's almost like a wetsuit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely more for the bib shorts. And the reason for that is when you pull those on, the leg gripper's going to start grabbing immediately.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in the place that it should.
Yeah.
Because you want everything to be the same fit and stretch throughout. So you want to make sure you get the pad in the right place and you're not overstretched on the straps.
Yeah.
And then you kind of work the leg gripper back down to where it should kind of naturally sit.
Right.
But we've certainly seen people who just pull it on and pull it up.
Yeah.
And then you kind of want to suggest to them that maybe you should adjust the leg gripper a little bit because it's going to fit a lot better.
Yeah. It's like when you put on a suit, you don't just throw on your jacket. You then adjust your cuffs on your shirt and you make sure everything's good.
Yeah. You want to get it all neat and tidy before you get out on the bike. And I think, you know, on the jerseys, it's not quite the same, just because certainly there are some jerseys that fit tight and, you know, maybe you adjust the sleeves a little bit and all that, but you don't have that same level of compression and that kind of real grippy texture on there. So it's not as much of an issue. I would
say
the only product that would require more of that kind of getting into would be if you go to like a speed suit that is really form fit and, you know, you need to first get it up high enough before you can even try and get it over your shoulders and get it on. So those take a lot more time to wrestle yourself into, and that's usually somebody who's doing time trials and doing some pretty specific events that's getting into a piece like that.
So going up, there's one thing I've seen you guys do and other brands do it too, is there'll be different materials on the bit, on the jersey part of it. So like on this one that I have right now, and this is a gold bib shirt from you guys, there's like the kind of standard, is that Lycra on the front?
Yeah, that's an Italian fabric that we get that's just a really nice, light stretch fabric.
But then, yeah, it's really light.
So then on the shoulders and the back, though, I've seen, like on this one, the shoulders are kind of almost bumpy.
Yep.
And it's not like a round dimpled. It's almost like a rectangular dimpled surface.
Yeah, oval kind of.
Yeah, oval.
And then the back is more kind of perforated.
Yeah.
And so why do brands do that?
So with this piece that you have here and with some of the other products that we have, there is strategic reasons for that. So for instance, the textured material that you were talking about, that is aerodynamic material.
On the shoulders.
So specifically it's on the shoulders and the side panel. And one of the unique characteristics of this fabric that took us a long time to figure out and we actually developed this fabric was most of the time when you're doing sublimation printing, which is where you get the graphics onto the jersey, you're using a lot of heat and pressure. And through that process, any type of three-dimensional structure you have in the fabric essentially disappears because you're flattening it out from the printing process. Mm. And this fabric that we have here, we're able to overcome that because the way that everything is knit together, once you put a little bit of tension on the fabric, it actually becomes more three-dimensional. So you'll see areas in between the bumps that get a little bit more thin. And then where you have the raised ridges, those actually will kind of condense and build up a little bit.
And so, that is a dimpled surface, and dimpled surfaces are faster? Is that the theory there?
Yeah, so the theory there is similar to golf ball, that by creating these subtle pockets, you create a layer of wind over the surface of the jersey or, you know, over your shoulder area, and it actually provides kind of a thin film for the rest of the air to travel over. Yeah,
so it's called the boundary layer.
Instead of air flowing over fabric, you've got air flowing over air.
Yeah, from what I'm not a pro at this, but what I've heard for cycling aerodynamics is if you're in a plane or car going very fast, you're very concerned about, laminar flow, which is the air like goes smoothly over it and then smoothly afterwards. But at lower speeds in cycling, that tail that you get can actually slow you down.
Yeah.
It's like a sucking motion.
Yeah.
So what people have done, you've probably seen aero helmets too with some dimples in it or something like that, or zip wheels have dimples, is that you try to cause some turbulence and that actually reduces the drag. So that's what these shoulders...
Just a subtle amount. Yeah.
The shoulder ones are for. But what about the back?
And so the back again is a different material. A couple different things when we put this jersey together is we wanted to make sure we had good ventilation, obviously, because you have a lot less airflow on the back of your jersey when you're riding. So you want to pick a fabric that's light enough that you can get some of that moisture and heat dissipated. And at the same time, you don't want it to be too light that you get a sunburn through it.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to walk a fine line there.
Rafa.
Yeah.
So Rafa was Team Sky.
Yeah.
I can see their nipples from like the helicopter.
It's weird, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's an extreme example of some of the ventilated fabrics.
There's like a lot of brands are really going to like transparent almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a cooling factor, do you think? Or?
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly a level of cooling that you can get from a fabric like that, but the drawback is the sun penetration.
Yeah.
So you see guys that get sunburns or
SPF 90.
Need to apply sunscreen or wear a base layer or something else to help combat that. It certainly makes for a very light jersey.
That's my next point. I don't know why there's not jersey manufacturers aren't advertising their weight, because I can pick up two different jerseys.
Totally different.
Because people will spend $300 to save 100 grams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And how much does a 2-on-1 weigh, like in grams? Do you guys know off the top of your heads?
No, it's probably 400 or 500 grams or something like that. I mean, with the pad in there and everything else, it's...
I would think with manufacturing and different fabrics, you could take out 100 grams.
Yeah.
Right? And I would, if I was made jerseys, I would totally manufacture that. Save 100 grams on this.
Yeah.
And have a light jersey.
You're saving weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to save some weight? And I can't believe they don't, especially in the Tour de France, maybe that's why some of these people do have see-through stuff, is your bike is limited to 15 pounds, and these guys are on the limit. They can't lose any weight.
Yeah.
Right.
Shoes and jerseys and helmets.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. Glasses are so light.
Shave it wherever you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the apparel, when we get fabric samples or when we get fabric into the factory, one of the first things that we do is we do cut a sample of the fabric in a very specific dimension, and then we do a weight on that so that we know what the fabric should be in weight and what we have gotten from the mill. And some of those fabrics are heavier for specific reasons. So if it's for, you know, thermal capabilities for winter clothing, that it's maybe got a fleece on the inside, or it could be, you know, the Lycra fabrics that we do on the bib shorts, some of those are like a nylon material. And that's for wear reasons when, you know, in the saddle area, so that you're not just immediately rubbing a hole in the bottom of your shorts if you've got a rough saddle, or maybe you're just a person that moves around on the saddle a bit more. So we want to make sure that we've got a product that lasts a long time. But also, when you talk about compression, you're going to get more compression out of a fabric that weighs a bit more than out of a really lightweight fabric, just because how the material is constructed.
I have a marketing or a product idea for you guys. For Jonathan, who's a fashionista, but is also very concerned on weight and climbing.
Yes.
Fishnet 2-in-1.
I would not buy that.
Well, no, actually, I don't know. If it saved you 400 grams.
If it's faster.
And you could legally wear it on a hill climb.
If it's faster. Yeah, I'll
exactly
do it.
Right.
So we do actually have something like that already. It's the mesh material is just on the top level. I might have an IM sample.
Okay.
So we do have something like that already. And like you said, you know, the Sky team has some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you go to some of those fabrics, there are other challenges. So, for instance, we have not changed any fabrics on the bottom of the suit, because with the seamless leg ripper, some materials you can't actually do the leg finish like that without any stitching, because the material might roll or it might fray, or there's a whole number of things that a fabric needs to do to be in an application like that.
It's still trade-offs too. If I had a really lightweight jersey, I'd probably only wear it like, you know, a couple times before the race, or in a race that I really wanted to, and I'd wear more comfortable stuff for training.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fabrics or the products definitely have their place, and I would say that somebody that's going with a lightweight mesh jersey is typically just racing in that, or maybe some hot training days, but it's not an everyday kind of garment.
Right.
I have one last part that I want to talk about.
And then I have some rapid fire questions.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Zippers.
Yes.
So this zipper on my 2-in-1 is a normal zipper. When we first got the golds, you guys have this like hidden zipper, and I swear it took me like 2 days. Jonathan would have to, felt like a little kid. He would come in, in my office, I'm like, I can't get it on, Jonathan. He'd come in and zip me up.
Yeah,
because
it
has to come in like at an angle.
Yeah.
But why did you guys do that? Because I'm guessing there's a reason, because it's only on the top end, right?
And actually we've kind of gone away from that one a little bit. It was a nice zipper just because it offered a really clean finish. And so with
it's perfectly hidden,
right?
Perfectly hidden.
Yeah, it was actually kind of an invisible zipper.
Yeah.
As opposed to a hidden, because with the hidden zipper in the construction, you actually have a little bit of fabric that covers up where the teeth are. And so if you were to look at your jersey now, you would see you've got your teeth running down, and then you've got fabric that's kind of folded over that covers the zipper. I think maybe the sample here has that. And with the other zipper that you were referring to with the invisible, the material is actually sewn right up to the very edge of where the teeth are. And so there's no kind of flap in
there.
And
it's almost
it's a very clean finish. Yeah. It almost looks like a seam, actually.
Yeah, and the teeth are at opposing 45 degree angles too. So it's not like a normal zipper where they fit in sideways.
Yeah, it was getting them started.
They fit in at an angle, so that way it really makes sure that the fabric just barely touches. It was really like aero, but it was finicky.
It's a more challenging zipper to work with. That's a good example where, you know, we've had a product out there, we've gotten feedback on it, and then we now offer those in both variations. So
on our gold
jersey, you can get either zipper option. Some people like one, some people like the other, but certainly for people who maybe are frustrated by,
what's the hard zipper called?
That would just be the invisible zipper.
So I prefer that one now that I've learned how to do it.
Yeah.
But so in general, I think for people that in general, I think the higher quality jerseys have smaller zippers. I've had some jerseys with like big teeth and zippers, and just when you're leaned over too, they kind of fold up.
Yeah,
like they don't naturally kind of suck to your body because there's more like metal there.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things with the zippers. The larger tooth is usually something that you put on more of an outerwear type of piece.
And something that needs more durability?
Like something, something more durable where, you know, if you had mud or something else in there, it's maybe going to be less likely to get clogged up or stop functioning.
That makes sense.
And also, to your point, with the larger teeth, it's going to be a little bit less flexible. So when you do something that's more of a short sleeve jersey, aero jersey, typically you're seeing, you know, a zipper that is, again, kind of downsized to be a little bit more stealth there.
That makes sense.
But also you want to have a good zipper pull as well, even with a smaller zipper.
So one thing on the waistline, I notice a lot of people complain about jerseys being like high end jerseys being too short in the waist in the front. So then when they raise their hands on the podium, it shows off their belly button, right? But there's a reason behind that.
I think I know what it is,
but go ahead. Why do you have such short torsos? Why is that a good thing?
Yeah. You know, and that is purely the function of being on the bike and in the race position, because when you're racing, you know, you're typically on the hoods or down in the drops. And so you're talking about a pretty aggressive torso angle.
Yeah.
And so if you think about yourself on the bike hunched over in that position, you know, you've got this really long back that's flat or arched. And so that's why the jersey would be longer in the back end. And in the front, you don't want it to be hanging down kind of, you know, flappy, baggy there. So you want it to be pretty form fit there. And also you don't want it to be kind of at the, you know, the crease of your legs when you're pedaling too. So that's why you see a pretty aggressive cut there. And not only for a jersey, I mean, you see it in some of the rain jackets and stuff that's a little bit more race oriented, that has a kind of aggressive cut in that regard.
When you're at the bike shop and you're trying to stuff on, try to get on a bike and lean over. This is the same thing with triathlon with wetsuits. If it fits, if it feels good when you're standing up in wherever you're buying it, it's not tight enough.
Yeah,
right. It's going to feel different in the water. But luckily, you can just get on a bike and kind of lean over.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you can try and replicate your riding position at home or whatever bike you have, I think that's a great way to
do it.
You know, and we get that feedback all the time with our speed suit, is that people put it on and then they try and stand straight up.
Oh, you can't do it. And you shouldn't be able to, right?
And they're like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. And it's like, well, lean back over where you're going to be riding your bike and you'll see that it's actually quite comfortable. And that's where you have no wrinkles because it's cut for that shape.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And one last thing on the kits before I get to your rapid fire personal preferences questions, but I recognize or noticed that on your kits prior to this, that there was a collar. So you have on your gold and you have gold race. That's like your race high end jerseys. On the gold ones, you have a slight collar, right? It's not, and I say slight, it's not as big as your Grand Fondo, you know, race bag jersey that you got, but it's a smaller collar as things are concerned, but it's still a collar. It's there.
Right. Right.
Then on your gold race, it's like, there's almost like no collar. It's like a wider neck and there is a collar, but it's very small. Why do you do that?
Again, that came a bit from the feedback that we got. So the original product did have, I would say a medium height collar on that jersey. And that was more traditional, I would say.
Yep.
And, you know, working with the pro teams, the guys wanted something that was lower cut. And, you know, I think one thing is they just like the feel of it. But also, a lot of times these guys are racing when it's hot out, so you're not really trying to cover up your neck or, you know, seal the elements out or anything. So the collar is not really a necessity.
Makes sense.
And so we do offer both versions because some people are very race oriented in what they're looking for. Some people want a high-end jersey, but they might not be racing at all.
Yeah.
So they maybe want kind of that look, but also kind of that extra coverage that a traditional collar offers.
Makes sense. All right, rapid fire questions. Leg length. Are you a close to the knee or up high guy? Are you like to show some leg or no?
I would say I'm right in the middle there.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely don't like them too long, but I would say I'm not riding short shorts.
And can we dispel a myth that short shorts, they aren't more female than male shorts when it comes to kit, right? Or do you think it is? Because it traditionally is. But I see a lot of guys like the Cliff Bar team, they run them, they get them cut short, and then they run them high. They like hike them up. They like to show off their big crit legs. They're like into that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I used to have a tri suit, and yeah. the tan lines would show where it would be, and it was so short on me that when I'd wear like my boxer briefs,
yeah.
it would be like, those would be longer than my actual,
that's short.
Like, wow. when I was racing.
Wow. Yeah.
yeah.
Now, I know more fabric that you have, technically, you'd probably be faster because aerodynamically more efficient, right? Because the fabric in most cases is more efficient than skin.
Yeah, that's yeah. that's something yeah. new, too, that triathlon is catching on to now, is that the full, or the to the elbows length sleeves are yep. faster than
yeah,
sleeveless.
Absolutely. There, yeah, absolutely. There's definitely been a big trend there that people are going away from the two-piece suit to the one-piece suit, and from the one-piece suit that traditionally was more kind of ITU style, where almost like a tank top cut, to something that either has partial or full coverage up top. So
and it's like
something even like, down to the elbows.
Like 20, 25 watts difference.
Yeah.
That's and pretty big.
It, yeah. All the podcast, if you're a trainer or user, 25 watts, you know, is like
yeah, it's a lot, man.
Amazing.
That's a big just discovery right you, there. Yeah.
yeah.
Did you guys, we talked about a little bit, but where are you guys in your aerodynamic testing with... Can people say anything yet? I know you said you're going to do some more in the future.
Yeah, so it's been...
I interrupted
it's
a quick
it's,
fire, sorry.
It's
no
been
worries.
A, it's been a little while since we were in the wind tunnel. This is probably about a year and a half ago. But we are working on some new stuff for some of our cycling products, something that's potentially going to be developed for world tour level. And we have another partner that we work with that's in the A2 wind tunnel. And he runs aerodynamic camps for triathlon. And so we actually provide him with quite a bit of stuff there for their athletes to use in the wind tunnel and test out against apparel that they have. And then they go through all their equipment and everything as well. So on the triathlon side, we've actually pretty regularly got either athletes or apparel in the wind tunnel.
I would love it if you guys would like blog post about that data, because it's so yes. interesting when I can see the different sizes, or just, I know some people don't, like if a brand says, oh, us versus this other brand, you know, they always look, you know, they might
right.
not trust that, but
right.
even just talking about, okay, if a baggy jersey versus a tight jersey,
yeah.
or this level versus that level.
It makes a difference,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because I want to know, like, your aerodynamic, we talked about the panels on the shoulders that are dimpled. How yep. is that compared to a lower level jersey that costs less but doesn't have that?
Yeah, that'd be fascinating to learn,
then,
right?
Then you can like think of, okay,
totally.
The price, do I want to pay an extra $50
right.
to save 5 watts? And for me, it's going to be yes every
year. Yeah, because last
week.
Year, I worked for 9 months to be able to get 5 watts on my FTP, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's
when
like,
you get
so,
really high, yeah.
So yeah, so that's like the focus. Sleeve length on the arms. Are you a long sleeve guy? Pros are going toward longer sleeves, always. Pretty soon we'll be at like fingertip length, but... Are you a long sleeve guy or short sleeve guy?
Definitely long sleeve.
Yeah.
I like to have it, you know, more down towards the elbow.
Yeah.
Maybe not that extreme, but I think over the years I've had so many jerseys where the sleeves always hike up.
Yeah, it's so
and,
annoying.
And
right?
I always am trying to pull them down. So with my clothing, I always try and add on the extra sleeve length to that, just because
yeah.
I think it fits better, and I like the look of it too.
It's smart. Think about it. Like, one of the leading edges when you're leaned over on your bike, your shoulders, right? And your shoulders to your neck. And if your sleeves are riding up and it's bunched up fabric right there, that's slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you can have slightly longer sleeves that really stay put well and keep that fabric stretched evenly over your skin, it's going to be faster.
Yeah.
Makes sense,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, because I think a lot of times, you know, you have kind of the bulge of your biceps, and you usually don't have that problem.
Yeah.
It's not huge, but,
yeah, yeah.
but it's enough that you're either going to be on one side or the other, and if you're on the higher side, then that's just going to creep up.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just a little bit longer, it'll help keep it in place. So
right, exactly. The other question that I was going to ask is on leg warmers. Do you put leg warmers on over your bib shorts, or do you put them on so that your bib shorts are over them?
Depends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say if I'm not going to be wearing them for too long, you know,
yeah.
like before Leadville 100, for instance, where it's 30 degrees in the morning, but... you're going to be taking them off before the race start, no problem putting them over. You know, there's no reason to get them all neat and tidy under the bibs. But if I'm going to be going out and riding all day, I always tuck them under there and then readjust the bib shorts and everything. So
yeah, I'm just
under. That's me.
I'm an under guy too.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, if you're just putting them on to stay warm before a race, that's one thing. But yeah, I'm an under guy. And on sleeves, on arm warmers, are you the same way?
I would say that I'm usually under on that. Yeah.
And pro tip on that, put your arm warmers on before you put your jersey on.
That makes it easy.
And then you can make sure that everything falls at a proper length. It makes it a lot easier. Other than trying to hike up your sleeve and stretch out the fabric and pull it up, that can be a mess.
Yeah.
Well, cool, Scott. I think that covers it, man.
Excellent. Well, thanks for talking today. This has been great.
That was good. I appreciate it. And hopefully this gives you all tips so then you guys can get more aero on the bike. We take care of the training side all the time, but the equipment side, we don't really delve into a whole lot, but we felt like Scott could have some knowledge. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you all next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye.